ground, for the seed of your word to be sprouting and bring forth much fruit, Lord God, and greater fruit. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing, Lord. We are a blessed people. Regardless the state we're in, Lord, we are so blessed. So, Lord, help us to see this. We just commit our time to you now, Lord, and we ask you for your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bibles to Daniel in chapter 2. I could go through the whole chapter, but you know I'm not. It's pretty long. It's 49 verses. And so the challenge for me is always where to stop. It'll all come together as a whole. It may take 3 or 4 messages to get to the end of chapter 2, but it's such an awesome chapter because it's the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It's the statue that he has in this dream. He's looking for someone to interpret it. The 3 Hebrew boys, when we left off last week, they completed their 3 years of that. You know, the it's not really a fast. It was just simply they chose not to eat the food from the king's table that might have been given to idols or defiled, certainly defiled because it was made by Gentiles. And instead they said, we'll eat the grains, we'll eat the vegetables, I'm sure they had bread along with it, whatever it was other than that they were able to eat. After the 10 days, they passed the test according to the guy that was in charge of them. And he said, okay, I'll just keep giving you this food right along. He did. It says they were fatter. It simply means that they looked more healthier than the others. God can do so much more with a little than we think we can with the greater. But we think we need more. We need more. We need more. And God's like, you don't need all that. You don't need all that. You ever hear, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach? Oh, yeah. We've all heard that, right? My problem was my father made us eat everything in our plate. So even today, I'm like forcing food down because I can't leave anything in my plate. And they say, oh, it's good courtesy if you leave something in your plate. I just never got that memo, so I just don't believe it. So it's important that Daniel is placed there. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar comes on. He's wicked. He's a vile king. He has no mercy whatsoever. He will annihilate anybody at any time for any reason. And so when they went and when they were taken captive, Jeremiah said, when you go there, listen, make yourself at home. Build your house. Raise your family. You're going to be there for 70 years. Now, if you're like me, you put yourself in their shoes. Whether it's the 3 Hebrew boys or Daniel, all 4 of them were together. They're teenagers. Maybe now they're 20, maybe just about 20 years old. So, I mean, they're mature in that sense, but really not that mature at 20, 21. And yet Nebuchadnezzar had favor on them. So you got to realize that what God does is what God does. When we look at the things in the world, it's easy to get caught up in the news of the day. You know, I remember people, Jimmy DeYoung, how many of you remember this guy? He had a radio ministry, all right, 4 of you. But he had a radio, he was all into prophecy. And when I was a young believer, I was like totally into prophecy. Like, yeah, really, really? He said, oh, you can read your Bible in the newspaper and they'll just match up and you'll see this. You know, and the rapture's been coming his whole life. He's gone to be with the Lord. His rapture already happened. But he was preaching it every week. It kept me listening, you know, and I was, oh, you get all excited. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. But it could come at any time. But listen, we're not to look for the Antichrist. We're to look for Jesus Christ. I don't believe we'll know the Antichrist. I don't care about the Antichrist. But you got to realize in the day and age we live in now, the deception that is out there with this whole AI craziness, you got to be careful even to people you listen to in Christianity. And I say, quote unquote, Christianity. Modern day Christianity, listen, can drive you away from the Lord easier than it drives you to the Lord. You know what drives you to the Lord? Jesus. Jesus. Keep it simple. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Lord, is that real? Jesus said they're going to be coming, and they're going to say, there's the Lord. He's in the mountains. Oh, go get him. You see that today. And they go running to the mountain, and there's some kind of, something that's projected, if you will, or something that they see, or maybe it's even demonic. And people flock to that, and they think, this is the Lord. It's not the Lord. You'll know in your spirit. You'll know in your spirit. Have you ever? I'm sure you have. You know, we sit and we listen to messages, and it's like, and it touches our spirit, and we know that it's doing a work, and it's transforming our lives. Listen, I get the word just like you do. I'm receiving it just as quick as you are, and we're hearing it together, and it touches my spirit. There's times, and I go, wow. Like, God, you were just so awesome today. You know what you know, I'm like, I'll tell my wife, I'll say, oh, when the preacher said this, that just blew me away. You know? I'm the preacher. Come on, you guys. I know some of you did. So listen, in Exodus 18, 17, God says to Abraham, shall I hide things that I'm going to do from Abraham? Is God going to hide the things from us? Is God keeping anything from us today? He's not. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit has to say, God's not hiding. He's not making this hard. He's making it as easy as possible. We just have to have our eyes on him. Listen to Deuteronomy 29, 29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. I'm okay with that. There's things you're never going to know in the Bible. There's things we're never going to know in life because they're the secret things. They belong to him. It says, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. So God says, the things revealed are for us so that we can observe what? The word of God. So that we can glean from the word of God. Nebuchadnezzar experienced a revelation from God which unnerved him. It bothered him. But it was a revelation nonetheless. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him as he puzzled over the meaning of this nightmare. To him, it was a nightmare. So let's look at this. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dream. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldeans, they spoke to the king in Aramaic. Now, remember I said that part of Daniel was written in Aramaic and part of it was in Hebrew. This is the Aramaic section. It's the only time it's used in the whole Bible. And so it's from here to chapter 7, verse, I think, 28. It's all in Aramaic. Doesn't matter to you. Doesn't matter to me. It's in English to me. That's what my Bible is. That's what I'm reading. But just extra information. So the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, the command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretations, you will be torn limb from limb, and your house will be made a rubbish heap. Listen, he's saying, you're going to tell me what the dream is. He's not telling them the dream because they believe they were part of the occult. They all were part of the occult. Hopefully you've never been to a fortune teller. If you have, wipe out whatever they said. But people go to fortune tellers. Remember, in the newspapers all the time, they used to follow The astrology and the horoscope. And people would read that every day. And they would base their whole day upon the horoscope. It's like, oh, all those the planets are lined up. I'm going to have a bad day. And you talk yourself into having a bad day. Oh, I'm going to have a good day. And it's, what are you doing? It's a bad day. Then you what? They were wrong. No, you just had a bad day because you weren't paying attention. But people follow these things. They were part of the occult. So Nebuchadnezzar's like, listen, if you're predicting the future, people listen. We've all watched Nostradamus, I'm sure. Well, most of us have. Again, into prophecy. What did Nostradamus have to say? You didn't understand a word Nostradamus said. They dissected and they broke down everything he said. And they said, oh, this is what he said. Now, let me tell you, a prophet of God is one who gets a revelation of the Almighty and proclaims it, and it always comes true. I believe it's Deuteronomy 18. It says, if the prophet of God is wrong, you know how many times, you know how many strikes you get? Once. The punishment is you get stoned to death. So to be a prophet of God, nobody was jumping into prophet school and going, yeah, I want to be a prophet of God. Because if you're wrong once, you're done. So Nostradamus was wrong plenty of times. And there's plenty of people that were call themselves prophets that have been wrong many times. Listen, you're wrong once. Don't listen to them. Can say what you will, but Nebuchadnezzar worried about his kingdom, how long it would last. Babylon the Great, they were the world dominant power at the time. How long would he be a ruler? He worried himself over these things. There's a great quote in my commentary, Shakespeare. It says, he was right. Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown. They don't have peace in their own hearts because they're worried about their kingdom. And they're willing to annihilate anybody to keep that going. Here the Lord communicated directly to an unbelieving Gentile king. The Lord, in his wisdom, planned to use his faithful servant Daniel to describe and interpret the dream. And in this way, God's name would be glorified and Daniel and his friends would be honored and rewarded. So God's plan was all of this. All this was God's plan. It was all part of God's doing. When you look at your life, and everything in our lives, unfortunately, you know, like the news, everything's a soundbite. You know, the guy, you know, he's talking for a half hour. The news takes one little snippet that they want to hammer on, and they say, oh, what he said. Look what he said. And you think that's what he said. That's not the case. There's so much more that goes on around that. When you look at what the Lord was doing in Daniel's life, he's there for 3 years, and then all of a sudden this king has a dream. And guess what? When they said they were going to tore him limb to limb, all the wise men of the day, guess who was part of that? Daniel and his friends. They were going to get swept away with it. The text mentions four classes of wise men. Each of them had a relationship to the occult. They professed to be able to foretell the future by one's means or another. Perhaps they had a general sense of it only by, maybe he did, remembering a few details, but I'm sure he didn't remember it all, but he wanted them to tell him what the dream was. It's interesting. If you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time. Inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans, they answered the king and said, watch what they said. There is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the things which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. They make the proclamation themselves that there's no man that can do this. It's all setting the stage for God to exalt Daniel to a position where he wants him in the kingdom. It's all the work of God. It's what he's doing. It all sets the stage. It predicts the future. Listen to Isaiah 41:21. I like this. It says, present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments, the king of Jacob says. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that they may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are coming, that are going to come afterwards, that we may know that you are gods. Isaiah said, listen, you're a prophet? Then prophesy. Let us know, and then we'll know who you are. Not a single event in their history can take place but by the Lord's appointment. Only by the Lord's doing. I love maybe my favorite verse in Daniel. Well, maybe not, but it's one of them. But it's in chapter 4, verse 35. It says, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven. Notice, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? What have you? Could Joseph, when he was in the pit and then he sold to Egypt, you think Joseph turned, God, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, this is your plan? I'm going to be a slave the rest of my life in Egypt? And the whole time, God knowing the future, he sees that he's going to be second in command in all of Egypt. That he'll be in control of all the wheat, of all the bonds, and of all during the famine. And not only that, be able to rescue his family so that they become the great nation that God intended them to be. Daniel knows that God has a plan on his life. He knows that God brought him there for a reason. And so he's not afraid to take risk because he's trusting in the Almighty. We know that Daniel lived through the whole captivity. Daniel didn't know that at this time, but he's in the midst of it. It says not a single, if they could predict the future by interpreting dreams, they should be able to reconstruct the past and recall the king's dreams. He says they will tear them apart. When he says that, he means it. When he says that they will take their houses down and make them a heap, he means it. Listen to this. This is from Fox's Book of Martyrs, 1997 edition. It says, at the present time in Sudan, a Muslim nation, the houses of Christians are habitually marked for destruction. Listen to this. More than 1.2 million Christians, men, women, and children, living in the capital city of Khartoum, have had their homes destroyed by the Muslim government since 1992. 250,000 homes have been bulldozed. It's going on today. It's going on today. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll see them in heaven. God didn't save them. Well, he did. He saved them so that they would go to heaven. But sometimes the fate isn't the same as Daniel. You know, I said before, so I can't explain why, you know, some people get sick, some people don't. Some people have money, some people don't have money. It's God's law and God's journey and plan for your life. God has a plan for each one of our lives. That's not cliche. That's a fact. And that fact, listen, the plan is single-fold. It's single-minded. There's got one goal, and the goal is always the same. It's the same for all of us. It's Jesus Christ. The plan is to draw us nearer to him. The life is preparation for tomorrow, but tomorrow is preparation for the day. But ultimately, it's preparation for eternity. God has a place and a call for each one of us, and he says, walk in it. God created us for good works, Ephesians 2:10, and he says, walk in them. It's as simple as that. You don't have to know. People, oh, I don't know my gift. Walk with God. God will show you. And whether you know it or not, just walk with God. Because all of a sudden, you're going to realize you're doing something that seems a little supernatural that you wouldn't have done otherwise. And you realize, wow, that's what God's doing. God's doing that in my life. Yeah, exactly right. And I said it before. I'll say it again. I'll say it 100 more times. The only goal I ever had was to know him. My goal hasn't changed. Listen, if God removes me from the public, I'm still going to walk with the Lord. Amen. I'll be preaching to myself in the shower. I don't care. Listen, but you don't stop doing what God called you to do. You walk in it. I always said, you know you're called, you walk in your call, and others will recognize your call. For me, that was my life. I was voted in as a pastor of a church before I was ordained. And they knew I wasn't ordained. But they didn't care. They saw that I had a call on my life, and they said, no, we want you to be our pastor. I got ordained shortly after, but it all happened the way God intended it to happen, not the way I intended it to happen. And Daniel was simply just doing the next thing. You know what he kept doing? He kept showing up. He kept showing up. He kept trusting in the Lord. He kept believing that God was going to do something in his life. Now watch what the Lord did in verse 12. It says, because of this, the king became indignant. It says, and very furious, and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Oh, how did I do that? All right, we're good. It's one of those. I kicked the plug. So the decree went forth from the wise men that they should be slain. And they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill him. To kill him. That could have been a bad day. Verse 14, it says, then Daniel replied with discernment, with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard. You look in the margin, you know what the word bodyguard is? His executioner. Who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, he said, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Now listen, that's by faith. That's by faith. Daniel went in there. You could look at it on the human, on the level of earth. What did he have to lose? You know what I mean? If God didn't interpret the dream for him, he's going to die anyway. So he had nothing to lose. But he went there by faith and said, give me time because I know that God will show me. So Daniel goes by faith and he believes the Lord's going to interpret it. He knew as long as God had a purpose for his life, no man could take it from him. So Daniel then went immediately to the king, requested time that he might declare Nebuchadnezzar the dream. What's so awesome is the conjurers and all the others, they wanted time. Nebuchadnezzar said, no, you're not getting any time. Daniel comes because he built a rapport with him, and he says, okay, I'll give you a little bit of time. I'll give you some time, but I'm not giving you a lot of time. And so he goes forth, and he takes that time. What verse am I on? 16? 17. So then Daniel went to his house. Watch what he does. First thing he does, he went to his house. He informed his friend, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter. By the way, guys, we're going to get killed. We're going to die. That's what he's telling them. It says, verse 18, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning his mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel called a prayer meeting. And Daniel said, we're going to get down on our faces before Almighty God, and we're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to ask him to show us the secret, the mystery, to show us the dream. Listen, throughout this book, Daniel and his friends are presented as men of faith and prayer. Faith and prayer. The God of heaven would hear their prayers, answer them for his own glory. The word mystery or secret, it means a hidden truth that is revealed only to the initiated. So the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much, James 5:16. So that very night, in a vision of the night, the mystery is revealed to Daniel. Faith is expressed both in knowing that God can help and in asking him for help. Wow. You know, many think, well, you can't change God's mind. You can't, you know, so why pray? Prayer is fellowship with the Lord. And prayer at times like this is essential to get the heart of God to see what the Lord is saying to them so that they could interpret this dream, not just save their lives, but all their lives. All their lives. You never know when God's doing things in your life where you're saving other people. Or otherwise, where you're being saved by some people. Everything in our lives is redemptive. Do we agree? It's all redemptive. Because God's purpose, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord wants to save people. We have no idea the lives that we touch at any given day, in any moment. So Daniel, just trusting the Lord, has the prayer meeting. Let's go before the Lord. And God shows him the dream. God gives him the dream. It's amazing. I think Nebuchadnezzar would have been shocked. I think he was shocked when Daniel knew the exact dream. It's just so cool the way the Lord does these things, you know? So Daniel doesn't immediately run to the king, right? How many of us would have ran to the king? God gave me the dream, right? We write it down. We run to the king. King, we're going to save him. Nope. This is what Daniel does. Watch this. Verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs, which is seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. What an awesome prayer meeting that was. I don't know how long they prayed. It doesn't tell us. I know they got together, the four of them. I know they seek the Lord. They probably faced towards Jerusalem. And they just asked the God for wisdom. And God to interpret and show them the dream, the mystery. What was hidden? And God reveals it, but they don't run to the king. No, I got time to praise and give thanks to God. Listen, anytime God answers your prayer, it's the burden that he gave you. He wants to do that in your life. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to be glorified. He wants you to keep knocking, keep seeking, keep coming. This was not religion. This was a revelation. Daniel gets a lot of revelations. Now, we use that word a lot here because a revelation is something only God can give you. Daniel didn't find out. God revealed it to him. Daniel couldn't find it out on his own. It could only come by a revelation. God had to reveal it. Christianity begins with the principle of revelation. It has to. What we know about God is what he's revealed to us. We may all paint a different picture of the Lord Jesus tonight, but listen, what you know is what he's revealed to you. You can't know it otherwise. We understand what he has revealed to us. As soon as the Lord revealed unto him the secret, he first poured out his whole soul in praise to the great author of mercy. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Daniel wasn't anxious. He didn't get frazzled. He just said, King, give me some time. And he knew what he was going to do. I'm going to my friends. We're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to see what God does. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Daniel offered praise. He acknowledged that God is God. He's the God of wisdom, knowing the end from the beginning, the God of power. Whatever he determines, he will do. Evidence of his powers are seen in the control of events. He changes the times, the seasons, and on the destiny of nations. He sets up kings and deposes them. He puts them there. Listen, cast your ballot. You know, vote for whoever you want, you know, mayors, governor, whatever, because it'll give you the right to complain for me. That's what it is. But at the end of the day, God knows. And God puts him there. Nebuchadnezzar was one on the throne because God determined to use him there to fulfill his will. His will. God has a will for America, and God's fulfilling it. Some think we're in divine judgment. Some think that God's going to, you know, give us some more time, you know, because of the president we have. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I know this. God knows. God placed him there like he placed the one before him there. And I accept that. I don't have to like it. I don't have to like any of them. But I accept it because they're the ones that God put there. That's the way it is. Daniel's first response was to bless the Lord for hearing and answering his petition. His friends couldn't take credit for what happened because they came by the hand of God. Psalm 50, verse 15, it says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. That's exactly what happened. Though he had just received this special revelation from the Lord, Daniel was not so puffed up that he failed to think of his well-beings of the others. It was there for all of them. I close with this. Daniel's praises God for his revelation. The God of heaven reveals the profound and the hidden things. Only through revelation can men have any insight into the future. The Lord knows what is in darkness, and he reveals it in his light. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for this precious story, Lord, but the reality of it all, God, you wonder the fear that they might have had, and but yet, Lord, you've just empowered them with your spirit in such a way, God, that they just trusted you no matter what. God, give us, increase our faith. Help our unbelief, Lord. Help us to find rest in the chaos of this world, Lord. May we not get entangled, dragged down, and tripped up, Lord God, in any way from it. But Lord, may us persevere and press forward and seek your face each moment of every day and not fail to give you the honor and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.